Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Oregon State Hospital patients have discovered their quality of care includes more than attentive doctors and nurses. They also benefit from music and art infused into their healing protocol. Joining the exchange to offer more insight are my two guests, Jessica Steinhabel and Caitlin Harmon. Both are board-certified licensed music therapists working at the Oregon State Hospital as directors of creative arts and recreation therapies. Jessica, welcome to the exchange.
Good morning.
And Caitlin, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Good morning.
So let's begin with a bit of background on you both. Jessica, we'll start with you. Tell me the story of how you first became interested in music and how did it lead you into a career in music therapy?
Oh, sure. Well, I started playing the flute when I was about 10 years old. And so my journey kind of took me playing in ensembles, performing in indie rock bands, jazz bands. So I completed a bachelor's degree in music, worked in higher ed for a couple years, and then decided I want to go back to school. I completed a master's degree in music composition, still was stuck in higher ed, and I always had wanted to be a music therapist. So I decided to completely change careers, went back and got my music therapy equivalency since I already had a music degree. And then about a year after I became board certified and licensed in Oregon, I decided, you know, I really love what I'm doing. So I went back and just completed my master's in music therapy and counseling with a clinical mental health endorsement just this last December.
Where'd you go to school and where'd you grow up?
Sure. So let's see, I started community college and Olympic College in Bremerton, Washington. Transferred over to Washington State University in Pullman. And then I went to the University of Portland, where I got my graduate degree in music composition, and then went on to PSU, where I was in higher ed working as an academic advisor. And while I was there, I got a post-baccalaureate degree in English Arts and Letters. And then when I went back to change my career, I received my music therapy equivalency from St. Mary's of the Woods in Indiana, which was great because that was a hybrid program. And then I just recently graduated from Slippery Rock University in Pennsylvania.
And you say you play the flute?
Yeah, that's my main instrument.
And you play other instruments?
Yeah. Growing up, I mostly played flute and saxophone. So mostly a lot of jazz. I played barre and tenor saxophones in college. And then as a music therapist, we also have to be able to play, basic piano, hand instruments or hand percussion, guitar, and kind of anything that the patient wants to learn or client. So we have to be pretty versatile.
It sounds like you have to be pretty talented as well. Caitlin, same question. What's your journey from your initial interest in music as a kid all the way through your career in music therapy?
Sure. Yeah. So I grew up in Chicago and I started playing piano at the age of 6. And I definitely had a passion for writing songs, less of learning from the books, from the traditional style of teaching. I would often hide my books and tell my teacher that I lost them. And I'd say, but do you want to hear a song I wrote? Anyways, I also played some brass. I played trumpet in high school. And my mom actually is an acupuncturist. And so when I was a kid, all throughout my childhood into high school, my mom would ask me to come to her clinic and play music for her patients. And this was long before we ever knew of anything called music therapy. She paid a special interest to her patients who were dying. And so because we come from a very tight-knit community, she'd often just drive me to someone's house, drop me off and say, go play piano for them for a couple hours. This person has breast cancer and is dying, and go play music for her and her children, her family. And I just thought it was so beautiful and so moving to see how music affected people who were in such a vulnerable state. And I went to college at Berklee College of Music out in Boston, and I started off with a film scoring major. And I found it really unfulfilling. We were writing jingles for commercials, and it just didn't feel so meaningful to me. And so I discovered a degree at this school called music therapy, and it had all of the things that I love about music. And so I got my degree in that 22 years ago. And I worked in all sorts of settings. I worked with children that have special needs, and I've worked in hospice and palliative care, worked in the medical setting. I'm in forensic psych now, and I'm also completing my master's of social work in December of this year.
So you got your degree in music therapy.
Yeah.
What is music therapy?
Music therapy is the clinical and evidence-based use of music to address non-musical goals within a therapeutic relationship. So,
English.
I know. I was just going to say, in other words, it's the therapeutic use of music to support a person's needs, whether it's mental, emotional, physical. It's a holistic practice. It's patient-centered, so you're always identifying the patient's or the client's preferred style of music and adapting it to meet their goals. And so the application really varies depending on what type of setting you're in. But no matter where you are, it's a whole brain experience because music activates so many different parts of the brain at the same time. You have the capacity to work on even multiple goals at the same time.
We often get confused with performers. We've both been called guitar ladies in different settings. So what I like to do is differentiate those. So a music educator, which we do, that is part of the application that we might use depending on what the patient needs. A music educator is someone that is instilling music skills. So they are teaching their clients how to learn an instrument, gain that knowledge so that they can master whatever they decide to do, voice, guitar, whatever instrument. A music performer is someone that is creating a product of music that is being presented to an audience. So there might be some engagement, but really it's the performer is in control of what music's going to be presented or produced. For music therapy, we are clinicians first that are also musicians. We've been trained to learn how to use music in a specific therapeutic way. And so it's really the process of engaging in music that we help patients address specific health goals.
My guests are Jessica Steinhabel and Caitlin Harmon. Both are board-certified licensed music therapists working at the Oregon State Hospital as directors of creative arts and recreation therapies. So I appreciate that delineation. It helps me understand the difference. Now, Jessica, you were talking about one is therapeutic and other is performative, but music has such an individual impact and meaning for everybody. So how do you know what's best for each patient?
We really have to just talk with the patient. There's so many different interventions or experientials, we like to say, that we can use with patients. So songwriting, active music making, receptive, recreative. So one thing might work with one patient or client, but it might not work for somebody else. So it's really patient driven, and we have to do an assessment just like any other therapy, ask a lot of questions, try different things. But what really guides us is the patient and what is their clinical goal that we're trying to address.
So that's a good question. How do you solicit feedback from patients to ensure that they're having a positive experience?
Oh, well, just ask them. if I'm noticing, I was working with a patient in it was a group drumming setting, and there was only a couple of us. It was me, and then there was just a couple of patients, we were just improvising on drums, and I was asking people, like, how are you feeling today? And the patient's like, oh, I'm really calm, but the drumming did not represent that at all. It was very disorganized. It was fast. And I'm like, tell me more about that. Because what you're playing is not addressing or is not matching what you're telling me. So that really starts a conversation where we can start processing what's happening internally. And but yeah, it's just having those direct conversations with people. And you know, we're trained to observe the physical and just observe what is happening with the patient as they're engaging with music. And it might be something that they don't notice, but we are noticing. So just having that really great rapport with patients to have those honest conversations.
How do each of you prepare for a music therapy session? And do you prepare individually or you prepare together?
Well, I would say in this setting, specifically, we would do a really thorough chart review to look at a patient's history. We would have conversations with the interdisciplinary team and get feedback regarding what everyone has been observing on this patient. We would conduct a formal assessment with the patient. So we would gain more insight as to what their strengths are, what their needs are, what their history with music looks like, music preferences. And then from there, we can certainly prepare music depending on the goals, using the style of music, the genre that the patient is interested in. In this setting, that's how I would prepare. That would look different in a different setting. You know, like hospice and palliative care looks very different, but that's what we would do here at OSH.
So how do doctors and administrators work to support your music therapy? I mean, do doctors prescribe music therapy sessions?
Well, how they do it here at the hospital, the interdisciplinary team, which usually includes a psychiatrist, psychologist, and behavioral health specialist, a music therapist or somebody else from our team, a nurse manager, and some social worker. So if they think that you know, maybe there's a specific clinical goal and they've noticed that, hey, you know, this patient responds really well to music in general. Maybe this would be a good music therapy referral. So they would complete a referral form for one-on-one sessions. And that would be sent actually to Caitlin to do the initial review. And then Caitlin would connect with the music therapist and say, hey, can you do this assessment? And then let us know whether or not this would be a good patient, or if music therapy would be good for this patient, or if maybe during the assessment, I've had assessments where I've gone in with patients and like music therapy would not be good for this patient because it's engaging with music is increasing their symptoms. So just because we receive a referral doesn't necessarily mean that that is the right therapy for somebody.
Okay. That was Jessica responding?
Yeah, that was me.
So Caitlin, she mentioned you. How does it work and how is the effectiveness measured when you get a referral?
Sure. So once I receive the referral, I'll just go over and make sure that there is a clinical need indicated, which is incredibly important. And we don't get something that says like, to learn guitar. So we're always communicating with staff about like, as a reminder, it's a non-musical goal that we're addressing in this referral. So I'll pass it over to the attending clinician. They will run an assessment and they will indicate whether music therapy services are going to be conducive to their treatment. And effectiveness is measured through so many different ways. Jess mentioned, patient feedback, but there's also very objective, measurable things as well, you know, like looking at the number of times a person engages in like any sort of communication around insight into their mental health condition, maybe accountability for life, how should I say this, choices. We can look at, you know, things like how they're progressing with their pro-social skills. We can look at things like their emotional regulation throughout the course of treatment. We really can look at a lot of things like thinking skills, ability to regulate, distress tolerance, collaboration with peers. Maybe they're in a group. Maybe it's not just, you know, because we do groups as well, in addition to one-to-one treatment.
Well, I appreciate that feedback. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. And so I appreciate you both and the work that you're doing. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My guests were Jessica Steinhabel and Caitlin Harmon. Both are board-certified licensed music therapists working at the Oregon State Hospital as directors of creative arts and recreation therapies.